Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. Dow Automotive Systems, improving durability and increasing design flexibility with Betamate structural adhesives at DowBetamate.com. And by Hyundai. Experience the 2011 Hyundai Sonata today at HyundaiSonata.com.
This is Out of Line After Hours with John McElroy. Episode 84 for Thursday, December 23rd, 2010. And to all, a good night. Watch Out of Line After Hours live at outoflinedetroit.tv every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 2400 hours GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for Out of Line After Hours in the iTunes Store. Well, here we are. Thursday night again, but this time the last Thursday night of 2010. And in the house is Mr. De Lorenzo.
Buongiorno, John.
Buonasera, signores. Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
And even better still, we got David Welch with us.
That's right. It's even better, Johnny. Happy holidays to you.
He's in the Christmas spirit.
DW, man.
So good to be back.
Yeah. It's,
we should give a special shout out to Roaster Jack.
Yeah, who's...
who's up in Traverse City and is kind enough to send us care packages of his fine coffee. Check him out at greatnoroco.com. Roaster Jack, you're a prince of a guy, man.
In fact, we have to quote Ben when he saw those bags of coffee, who said, "Thank God, we're out."
Yeah, Roaster Jack, man, you're the man.
And I'll testify, it's very good coffee.
Yeah, it is. So... you've been busy lately, Dave.
Sure.
You still in school.
Yeah.
Still raising little baby.
Yep.
And you got a job to do on top of that.
Yeah. Job's been pretty busy, too.
I know. Busy time.
Always lots going on.
But, you know, for today's show, what we thought we'd do is instead of talking all about the news or whatever that's going on, since we're in the Christmas holiday here, end of the year holiday, you know, whether it's Christmas or not, we thought we'd give out presents for some of the best stuff that's gone on in the industry this year and lumps of coal to the bonehead stuff that happened.
You know, the news gets pretty dead this kind of year, time of year anyway.
Well, this week, I think it's, yeah, there's nothing too earth shattering out there. But so let's start with you. What's the first present you have?
First present I gave was probably not too surprising. I gave it to Alan Mulally. I think Ford... I wasn't that skeptical because they've been putting up good financial numbers for a while, but you're starting to see a lot of other things really, really show up for them. I'm still not sold on their design, but I think it's getting better. The quality story is really good. I think Mulally has done a great job over there, so he gets a present.
So he gets a present as what, like the best executive of the year kind of a thing?
Yeah, I'd give him that and you know, show him what he won. He gets 5 more years as Ford CEO.
Do you think he'll take 5 more?
I doubt it, but...
I doubt it, too. How long do you think he'll stay at the company?
I'm thinking 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's what I would think. When's he turn 65?
Next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
I think he might stay a little longer than... I don't know. What do you think, Peter?
I think he'll stay longer. And I already named him Auto Extremis Executive of the Year, so... Auto Executive of the Year, so I would give him a present, too. I would also give a present to Audi for their focus, consistency, and their just relentless product offensive. And
I'd considered them. I didn't for 2 reasons. One, I was running out of gifts to give, and I knew you were going to put him down anyway.
We got Alan and we got Audi.
Yeah,
so
yeah. We're taking care of the A's right
A's,
now, right?
Yeah. How about you, John?
Well, I went in a totally different one for my first present because I thought CeeLo Green ought to get a present for having the best new music video of the year, best new song of the year.
Well, I didn't know we were going to do that, because I would have automatically put him up front.
And have you heard of this guy, CeeLo Green?
No.
He's got a song out right now. Okay, so anybody who's got little kids watching, you got to cover your ears, because the name of the song is called Fuck You. And so it's banned from the airwaves. They won't play it at all.
But you can watch it on YouTube.
But you can watch it on YouTube, right. So anyway, this thing has become like an underground cult hit. And it's
is it a good tune, or is
great
it just...
tune. It's a great tune. And it's...
change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you, and I fuck her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be richer. Now ain't that some shit? That's some shit. And although that's crazy,
score for it.
Well, anyway, you just missed the line, but why I included it, which is, sorry, can't afford a Ferrari. So I figured there's an automotive connection.
Absolutely.
So that qualifies for a present. But just to follow up on this guy, he's a fantastic singer. If you know the group Gnarls Barkley,
oh, yeah,
that had a hit 4 years ago called Crazy. That was a worldwide hit,
oh,
too.
Sure.
Anyway, Gnarls Barkley isn't a guy. It's a group, and he was the guy who sang Crazy.
One of the two guys.
Right, but he's the lead singer.
Yeah.
But anyway, he did this one, and it's up for a Grammy. The first time a song that's banned from the airwaves has ever been up for a Grammy. So he said, can't afford a Ferrari, and I thought, CeeLo, you just qualified.
All
for
right.
The Out of Line After Hours Christmas Good Stuff and Bonehead Moves kind of present awarding.
All right.
So what's your coal? Who's your...
My coal? My coal is to NASCAR. My first lump of coal goes to NASCAR. For having taken the premier racing series in America that just a few years ago was absolutely the fastest growing spectator sport in the country, and they broke it.
And driving it into the ditch.
And they drove it in a ditch. They really did. And so that's where my lump of coal goes to.
I'm giving my biggest lump of coal to Ed Whitaker. You know, he comes into GM. He's got the spurs that jingle jangle. He's going to bring accountability. He's the cowboy. He's the straight-talking guy. And then he throws Fritz Henderson out. Well, he and the board did. And then after 9 months, actually not even, it was 8 months on the job, he quits. It's obvious his board was not even prepared, because it took Dan Akerson 3 or 4 days to decide to take it. That's not how succession plans work.
Right.
There are two things that tell you that this was not a planned succession. One, companies do not go to their boards looking for the next CEO. You know, Steve Jobs won't be running Apple, and I keep forgetting his name all the time. It's on the tip of my tongue. But they're grooming the COO of the company to take over for him. That's how succession plans work. Second of all, if it was a real succession plan, the guy who takes the job doesn't take 3 or 4 days. He says, oh, he's leaving? I thought it was going to be 4 months, but now, but yeah, let's go. No. So he surprised his company. This is, you know, GM needed stability at the time with all the management moves and everything else. Mr. Accountability, who was going to bring, you know, decisiveness and accountability to GM, just up and leaves because he didn't want to hang out anymore and wait through the IPO. So he gets mine. That's bad governance and bad corporate planning.
The real story is, why'd he leave?
I've heard a bunch of things on that.
I've heard a bunch, too.
Well, he clearly didn't like government oversight. He was commuting up from San Antonio, and he was never a detail guy and just didn't really want to, you know, do the job at the level it takes. And the problem with the IPO being in the fall, Whitaker wanted to leave in December or January is what I was told. And his attorneys told him, and we had this in our story in the magazine, said, look, you can't launch an IPO in November and then a month or two later say you quit. His investors will be in revolt. They bought this management story along with the rest of it. So you got to go now, or you got to stay on for a year afterwards. And he said, okay, I'm out. I think there are some other things that made it tense for him, but I don't think he liked press scrutiny, government scrutiny. wasn't going to like analyst scrutiny. And I mean, he hated meeting with the Wall Street guys in advance of the IPO, from what I was told. So
now we're stuck with Lieutenant Dan. Oh, boy. My first lump of coal goes to BMW for their just insane foray into the Joy campaign, you know, after seeding the ultimate driving machine into the American consumer consciousness for 25 years. The Germans up and decide that, oh, Joy works everywhere. It'll work just as well in the U.S. Just complete boneheads are us. Just unbelievable. And the reason, main reason I say that, because every single car company in the world could say Joy. It's nothing. It means nothing to BMW.
I think companies that make almost any product other than like a shovel could say
Joy. Yeah, I mean,
Joy.
It's just total bullshit. And
it's the name of a dish soap, isn't it?
It's just a major disappointment, and it's just... It's an example of how German car executives in Germany are really piss-poor marketers, left to their own devices. They are. They don't get this.
Think about the good ad campaigns from German companies. I mean, the whole Janis Joplin thing that Mercedes did, that was Mike Jackson when he was running Mercedes U.S., an American guy. You know, Audi's done some good stuff, but it I don't think that's coming straight out of Germany. I think it's their guys here who come up with a lot of that.
Well, Audi seems to have a better feel for it, but this Joy business, and they try to, every time they try to explain it, it gets worse. You know, well, it really doesn't. We're not replacing Ultimate Drive Machine. Oh, really? It's on the side of your race cars in the America Le Mans series. I mean, you know.
Right.
All right, let's move on. So you got a present.
Well, actually, what we should do is take a brief break here, because I've got to talk about one of our sponsors. I want to talk about the Chevrolet Cruze, and you can read all about it at Chevrolet.com/cruise. According to MSN Autos, it is the class of its class right now. And they say that because it comes with a 6-speed manual or automatic. It's got a Pioneer Premium 9-speaker sound system, more passenger and cargo room than Civic, Corolla, or Focus, better highway manual transmission fuel economy than Civic, Corolla, and Focus, 138 horsepower with the Ecotec i4, and 6-speed manual overdrive will get you 26 city and 36 MPG highway. And again, you can learn more at Chevrolet.com/cruise, and that's C-R-U-Z-E. Okay, so let's get back to the presents thing. So, Peter, you go. What present you got?
My present goes to Ford. The most dialed-in American automobile manufacturer, follow-up on the Alan Mulally. They have the best leadership. I think they have the best product and marketing people right now in the business. And, you know, I wish them continued success. They're doing a hell of a job. And
it's impressive. It's really impressive.
As long as... You know, Alan keeps them focused. If they stay focused, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for quite a while.
The thing that impresses me a lot is when you look at Ford product, their infotainment system is by far the best in the business. I say, you know, Sync is, when it came out, they're clearly 3 years ahead of everybody in this.
Do you think GM can go toe-to-toe with Sync, with OnStar?
Yeah, I think that you're going to see, you know, we had Chris Pruse here in the summer talking about where OnStar is going. He knows what he's got to do. He's actually impressed me quite a bit in being savvy as to what he's got to get into. And he recognizes the challenge that he's up against. What he'll argue, though, is that when it comes to communication, OnStar is ahead. When it comes to in-car infotainment and how you work with it, I'd say Sync is ahead.
Clear.
But I think in the next 2 years, you're going to see OnStar open up a lot in terms of what it can do technically and as a brand, even going beyond
automotive.
And
that's the marketing challenge Chris has, because OnStar, rightly, really plugs the safety and security stuff, because that's what they're best at. But what gets you more jazzed when you see a commercial? someone wrecking their car and the ambulance coming quickly, or some cool tunes coming on it when you order them up. I mean, you got to leave them happy, and everything you see in the advertising about Onstar
is a downer.
It is
a downer.
You have to be one of these paranoid, nervous Nellies to
I told him when he was here. I said, "I hate your advertising. I absolutely hate it."
It is. It's always this nervous Nellie suburban mom.
Problem.
Well, they have changed.
And it's raining. There's always rain coming down, and like you can see the flashing lights of an ambulance or a cop car through the blurred, you know, water on the windshield and the wipers going.
Yeah,
and it's
they just do have a new campaign out that's much better.
Good.
It's all.
I haven't seen it.
It's brand new.
When I think of OnStar, this is the image that conjures.
Yeah. No, but you're absolutely right.
But the thing is, though, Ford has already raised the bar with this MyTouch thing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they're in a whole nother dimension.
Right.
Now.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they had a lead with Sync, and OnStar's trying to figure out how to counter.
Well, everyone's now just sort of getting there. They're not quite there. Chrysler's got what do they call it? Connect something.
Look, it's this simple. Do you want to go buy? You want to go buy an iPod or a fire extinguisher for your house? I mean, that's what the two brands got to come down to.
But the other thing, too, go to powertrain and this EcoBoost thing that Ford's, you know, branded as such is extraordinarily well done. They're really onto something with it.
And, you know, their big product, which we're going to be all over the Detroit show, this Focus, is going to be formidable.
Formidable. I would agree.
Okay.
David, what you got for a present?
My present? A lot of people, this is off the radar probably of a lot of our viewers. I'm giving one to Chris Waddell, the CFO of GM.
Oh, interesting. Why?
He ran a terrific IPO. I mean, he managed to balance what the government wanted with what the company needs, with what the bankers wanted, pressures from all sides, a lot of heat. And they priced it exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Priced it at 33, started trading the first day at 35. Yeah, but that's good because what that tells you is they got the government
got
as
the
much
side.
Money as they, I mean, because even if the government screwed it up and priced it at 25 and it shot up to 33 and Wall Street got all that money, everyone's going to say the government screwed up. But GM's going to wear that stain of dishonor because the public's going to say, oh, I got screwed on this, my investment in this company. And, you know, they had a hand in this, or it's just they're going to be the object of it as well. So they priced it just right. They sold a lot of shares. And also, you know, you look at his plan of, you know, getting out of debt in 5 years, including the pension liabilities. Don't know if they're going to do it because a lot depends on the market, but it's feasible. And, and this isn't the old GMO. Look, you know, when they said we're going to make $10 a share by
well, one other key thing, too, and it actually pisses me off, they're not going to pay any income tax for the next $45 billion.
That was, No, it's not $45 billion. It's a $45 billion tax credit, and I believe, I'm but 98% sure on this, that is... you have to multiply their tax rate by that, which is 35%.
Do you think he's
so it's a lot of money?
Do you think he's going to succeed Ackerson as chairman?
I think there's a good chance. I mean, it's basically, I think Waddell is in the front seat for that, right?
Chairman now. Or CEO or both?
Chairman.
For Waddell, he'd be CEO, and maybe Ackerson or the, you know, he could be the chairman as well. It depends. Somebody may step forward on the board. My guess actually would be. I think Royce has a shot at this, unless there's some outsider that they identify. My guess is Ackerson, 2-3 years, he goes and, you know, and he retires, four at the very longest. Waddell gets the job as CEO, and lead director Pat Russo might be non-executive chairman.
Hmm.
Something like I could see her doing that.
I wouldn't like to see a finance guy from outside the business be CEO myself. That's my own.
Waddell's pretty sharp. I don't know enough about him to tell you.
I see him as chairman and Royce as CEO.
That would be the ideal, in my book.
I don't think they're going to hand that to him. I don't like to see companies. I mean, he's awfully young to just become chairman without being CEO. There's no hard and set rule on that or anything, but I think they see him as an operating guy. He's pretty sharp. I mean, he's not your typical finance guy. You know, he does triathlons. He's into rugby and all this sort of. He's got this crazy New Zealander thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to see a chairman have more of a board role and separate that from CEO. I don't like what they've done with Ackerson.
Yeah.
I'd like to blow up the damn board. I think GM has had a horrendous board for too long, and they should start over.
And still do,
Who's
I
your
think.
Present go to, Jim?
Well, my present goes, actually, I gave a lump of coal to NASCAR, but I give a present to Jimmy Johnson. You know, this guy, I would say, is unquestionably the best that there's ever been. You know, there's always drivers for each era. He's clearly the driver of this era. And I think you can stack him up against any of the greats who have existed in the past.
I agree.
And it's, you know, for everything I don't like about NASCAR, the one thing you can say is it is ultra-hyper-competitive. And on any given race, there are at least 25 drivers who could win, who absolutely could win the race.
And at least, very much so, at least 10 who could win on any given day.
On any given day, right. And, you know, it came right down to the very end, the last race. And, in fact, the points standings fluctuated during the race. Same thing happened in Formula One, too, which was actually a pretty good season. But Johnson is absolutely, and Chad Knaus, you can't separate the two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awesome performance. And, you know, maybe it's hurting NASCAR. Maybe people are sick of seeing him win, but you can't take away the fact that these guys are outperforming everybody, and there's a lot of good people there.
Yeah. If you don't like it, beat them.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're back to Cole. David, what's your next Cole?
You'll love this one. Steve Rattner.
The rat man.
Now, in fact, I'll give you a bag full of Cole to give to him.
I will say the Auto Task Force did a terrific job of restructuring the industry, basically, but you know,
right.
GM and Chrysler. But you know, he's been barred.
Well, he took credit for all of it, number one.
He did. You know, Steve, I feel slightly bad about this because the last time I interviewed him, he was a gentleman to me. But
I'm sure he's a terrific guy to be around.
Not usually, frankly. The last time he was great. But he's been really surly with me a few times. You just can't drag this guy out of the spotlight. You know, flogging his book relentlessly, and he's, you know, all the you know allegations of impropriety, and he's been fined, and he's been barred from trading. I think for 3 years, was it?
Well, none of that has come out officially, has it?
Yeah, no, he's in a real battle
now,
with
you guys. Cuomo. Bloomberg's reported it. The Journal's reported it. I think the Times has reported it even. I don't think the SEC has officially said that they have fined and barred this guy. And now Cuomo's after him.
Well, yeah, he's...
There's Cuomo. Bad blood there.
Yeah.
There is, but Cuomo's, you know, he's like Spitzer was before Spitzer got in trouble. He's a bulldog. So Rattner gets mine.
Yeah, well, I concur wholeheartedly. Let's see, what do I got here? Well, you gave a lump of coal to Ed Whitaker. I'm giving a lump of coal to Dan Ackerson.
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. But I'm giving him a lump of coal for trashing other car companies and other car companies' cars. I'm sorry. I stand in admiration to GM and all that, but you don't trash other people's products.
I disagree with that because, look, we in the press love when there's a little bit of trash talking, a little bit of Joe Namath kind of, yeah, I guarantee a win kind of action. We love that stuff. Now, and I'm not going to give Ackerson a lump of coal because he hasn't been in the job long enough, but give him one overall, I won't. What was particularly a poor choice about that whole thing was he made fun of the customers of the Prius. They're
right.
Geeks.
Right.
Who does he think the early adopters for the Volt are going to be?
Right.
You know, these aren't guys who are driving Impalas right now. Who does he think is going to buy those? So
yeah,
insulted the potential customers for the car that they need to succeed for their reputation more than anything.
If Akio Toyota came out and said and made fun of the Volt, they'd go berserk at General Motors. If Mercedes, Dieter Zetsche came out and trashed, you know, the CTS, Ackerson go berserk. If he trashed BMW or if BMW trashed them,
I'll tell you what the reason. I mean,
then that's what he's done. So I think it's in poor taste.
It wasn't poor taste. I agree with you, but just for different reasons is what it's coming down to.
I don't mind.
I like a little bit of, you know, the reason I like it is because so many executives are so measured, you can't get anything interesting out of them. Here's a guy who's willing to actually speak his mind.
Sure.
So I respect that. Now, it was just really inept because he's insulting a customer for a vehicle that he's literally launching right now.
It would help if he had a shred of industry credibility. He does not.
That's a fair point.
He was.
That's a fair point.
You know, this job fell on his head. this guy's been rattling around in the finance industry and all that. This job fell on his head. He's got no credentials to say that. Now, Bob Lutz gets up there and trashes something.
That's different.
That's different. But Lieutenant Dan...
But he wouldn't do it.
No, he wouldn't do it.
Not publicly like that.
And, yeah. So I got a real problem with it. I agree with you, John.
Well, what do you give then, Peter?
Well, this is a two-part one, because okay. I do more later, but my call goes to the UAW because I am absolutely convinced that they still don't get it. I'm hearing all the same rumblings, and I don't like it. And I'll have more on this later, so we'll just
okay, good.
It there.
Okay, good.
So where are we, back to presents?
Yeah.
Well, hold on a minute, because this is probably another good spot to talk about couple of our sponsors, too, that we've got. Bridgestone, go to bridgestonetire.com. They're doing a lot of stuff with run flats right now. And for anybody who doesn't want to get stuck out in the middle of nowhere, these run flats can be pretty good. You just keep on driving. And Dow Automotive at dowbetamate.com. And one thing that you can look up there is they've got this diesel particulate filter that's pretty interesting. They call it Aerify. And what's good about it, very low back pressure. You can downsize it, upsize it to according to the package without compromising the performance. And it's a whole lot lower cost to hit the regulations using this thing. In fact, this is pretty interesting. When Audi first came out with their diesels, what was that, the R8? It used Dow's particulate filter.
Oh, you mean the race car?
The race car, right.
R10.
R10, okay. And they're up to what now? The R...
R16? No, the R18 is the new coupe, but it won't appear at Sebring next March. That'll still be the R15 plus. So, but the R18 coupe is the new one.
It uses this Aerify particulate filter for diesels, and it's, to my knowledge, the first time a race car has ever had any kind of emissions control, specifically just to clean up emissions. So, kind of interesting. Okay, what are we back to now?
Presents, you go, John.
Okay, my favorite ad for 2010 was one that Kia did, where they brought out the new Kia Soul, these rapping hamsters. And Ben, I think you got that clip. Let's bring a part of that. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come. You gotta see the ad because they got it's part costume, part CG, I guess. These guys, you know, looking like hamsters. Somewhere in New York City, it kind of looks like, and rapping about the new Soul.
I gotta say, the Soul is probably the only Kia I'd buy, although the new Spectra looks really good, I think. But the Soul.
Well, the Optima.
Yeah. I think the Soul looks pretty cool, and they're marketing for it. It's just awesome.
Well, I love this ad. It just cracks me up even now that I see it. You know, it's been out for months. So that was my favorite new car ad.
What's your present go to, Dan?
Kia as well, but for the ad, How Do You Like Me Now with the...
My wife hates that ad.
That's a great ad, and it's a great tune by a band called The Heavy. And if you go on YouTube and actually listen to the song, they play, like, in the ad, they play, like, kind of one clip. But if you listen to the whole tune, it's even better. Hmm. And they sort of, they mix it differently for the ad almost. The drummer in this tune is just tom-tomming away, and it's absolutely great stuff.
Well, wow, two for Kia. Gee.
Who's their agency, Peter? Because they're doing great stuff.
I forget it.
Well, Michael Sprague is their marketing guy.
If we're talking at my favorite ad, I've got plenty, but my most memorable one was the CTSV at the Nürburgring.
I like that.
That was shot by my buddy Jeff Swartz. So yeah. I'm a sucker for the Nordschleife.
Is he with Fallon?
No, Jeff Swartz, a director.
Director, photographer.
Director, cameraman.
Right. Started out as a shooter.
Yep.
Way more than that now.
Yeah.
Or did you have another present then?
Oh, yeah. My present goes to Porsche. for consistently pissing me off. But in a good way, because, you know, they keep building stuff that they shouldn't build, yet they turn around and do stuff like the 911 Carrera GTS that's coming, the GT3 RS, the GT2 RS,
right.
The Cayman R. So they keep satisfying the hardcore Porsche, you know, aficionados, and then they build the other stuff. So as long as they keep, you know,
doing the real stuff, and then you'll forgive them for Cayennes and Cajuns and things like that.
Yeah, you know, as long as they keep doing that, they get a.
Well, it's funny because I was going to give the most significant new technology development.
You're a Pan Am guy.
I love Pan Am.
Yeah,
I do too. Actually,
it's the hybrid 911 race car.
Correct. That flywheel.
That thing is awesome.
It's awesome. It's kicked ass. And to me, it's very significant because it shows you don't necessarily have to store energy in a battery. And a flywheel can be a lot smaller, lighter, and cheaper. And that's why I think it's a significant development for this year.
Yeah, and they're way out in front with this.
Yeah, way out in front.
And what did they say? What racing's going to do? What they're going to do with it? Vivo make the package lighter and smaller. I mean, you know, that's what happens in racing.
That's what happens. Exactly.
Stock
right.
Stock is rising, number two.
Okay, so we're back to coal, and I guess I'll start this time. I give a lump of coal to the California Air Resources Board.
Hallelujah, man. I second that.
Just for pushing the 60 MPG?
Well, it's a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's like they're writing regulations to force a technological change that they want to see. So instead of just saying, here's an overall goal, you all figure out how to get there. It's like, no, it has to be electric, and it has to be electric the way we foresee electrics being. So you stupid Volt thing, you don't qualify for any of our tax rebates, and you can't even run in the high occupancy lanes because you didn't do it the way we want our regulations to be followed. And I think
GM could have had that ready. They didn't have it ready.
What are you going to do? I mean, you know, you come out with a car that can bring electric to the masses.
I agree. I've even put the Volt on my shopping list, which is growing all the time, by the way, for next year. I got Chryslers on there. I got Camaros.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of cool stuff. But, I thought GM should have been, I mean, they knew what it took to get the thing certified for California.
Yeah, but the Volt, the way they configured it.
But think about it this day, a minute, David. We're talking about in certain transient conditions, in certain parts of a test, their engine goes like half a gram over the limit, and it's like, so you don't qualify for it.
Well, what's even more ridiculous than that is, I remember when we did that story, because it doesn't qualify for some of the tax deals out there because of this.
None of them.
And you look through the list of, there's like SUEV and UEV and, you know, FUEV.
Yeah.
It's just, there are so many ridiculous, I mean, they've got this thing stratified 47 different ways. It is completely ridiculous out there. I mean, I love California. You know, I love the beaches in SoCal. I love going to
friend.
LA. I love San Francisco. I love Central California. I love all the wine regions. I've always wanted to live there to be in proximity to all that, but the state is so screwed up.
As my car friends say, don't separate us from Sacramento, because, you know, the delusion runs in their drinking water in Sacramento.
Well, see, my whole thing is this. Look, you know, in Europe, they're not a bunch of idiots. We actually have far more stringent standards than they do. They're really close to us, and their air is getting cleaner all the time. But they plan things out in a way that allows their industry to transition into it a little bit slower. They still get to where we're at, but they do it slower at way lower cost. Way lower cost. And that's what I find problemsome with.
Somehow in Europe, they have managed to get the relationship between government and industry, and I mean manufacturing industries, to be far less adversarial. Here it's, and in America.
They fight in Europe, but
not like this.
But not like we do. And that's why I give a lump of coal to the CARB, because they're driving this agenda that is, I'm telling you, it's about going to a technology that their board wants to see happen. Not necessarily the guys who were writing the regulations.
I'm not fighting
the way
I'm
the board's going.
GM could have been ready for that and headed it off. But
I wouldn't necessarily disagree. All I'm saying is that the Volt's an awesome effort. And to all of a sudden say, well,
Volt's an awesome effort for everybody, the whole rest of the nation except for Sacramento.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as...
To me, the coolest thing about the Volt is the interior. I love that whole center stack where it's all just...
Yeah. Just the
touch on the
touch,
surface,
right.
Yeah, and it looks like something out of a...
Have you seen it
the
in
newer
white?
Yeah, it's awesome.
In white, it looks terrific.
Yeah, it looks like something out of, you know, one of the newer Star Trek series, the way the whole motif of the entire interior, the leather seats, the way they're two-toned in a modern way, it is just really well done. Everything is done right. Unless there's a quality snafu, I think the car is going to be a smash.
Yeah.
Who's your cult go-to?
My cult goes to that moron, James Sykes. The guy, he was the one who was driving the runaway Prius on the San Diego freeway.
Oh.
And,
I love it. I'd forgotten all about that idiot.
For 20 minutes. Either it was, I don't know whether they proved it was a fraud or not. Because remember, he was late with his payments and the guy was in arrears on all kinds of debt. But either it was a fraud, and if it wasn't.
It was a fraud.
If it wasn't. He's for 20 minutes. The highway patrolman is giving him instructions, and he's you know screaming, "I can't make it stop!" And all this. If it wasn't a fraud, he's an idiot.
Yeah, well, it was a fraud
because everybody else who had an issue with it, other than the people who like ran into something after like 10 seconds because they were lined up and you know. In front of something, we're able to pull over and get the thing stopped.
I can't wait for NASA's report. Remember, we have NASA and the National Academy of Sciences looking into this runaway acceleration in Toyotas, and I can't wait for their report because they're going to come out and say, we can't find anything. And then we'll finally have a big conversation in this country about drivers do make mistakes. And guess what? They even mistake the gas pedal for the brake and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
My call goes to Tesla for basically stealing $440 million of our money to run their little plantation car company, which I just think is just total bullshit. And
I disagree. It was $460
million. Okay. You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
But I just think, what was the cost of... They've sold something like 1,000 cars, and you know the government keeps throwing money at them, and it's just like, really? I mean, come on.
Right. No, it's amazing.
And it's just always, just wait, just around the corner, you know, and then, oh, wait till you see the Model S, and it's just like, okay.
I'll save my Tesla screed for later, but
okay,
no argument for me.
Let's move on.
Well, I think we all went through everything, right? Or who's got anything else?
We still have,
I've got five more.
You guys are way ahead of me. Darn. Okay, well,
yeah, I was told to come
let's go back to presents.
Okay, my present goes to Bob Lutz for doing a great job for his entire career. And basically, if it wasn't for Bob Lutz and the product people and the design people, GM would have gone down.
Yeah, yes. They would not be able to come out. Right.
You know what? If it weren't for Bob and the product plan they put together... I'd say the product execution, because I think the hole in Bob's game is product planning.
And execution, but the execution.
The execution, the design, the interior, the cruise is Cadillac level almost. The company wouldn't be worth saving if not for what Bob did.
He retired.
They wouldn't have a product line that could carry the company beyond the restructuring.
So he retired this year, and he's going to be with us on the 6th.
In 2 weeks, he'll be here on After Hours.
I just wanted to make sure he got a present before that.
He totally deserves it.
So who's your present go to?
Well, I'm out of presents for now. I'll think of something.
By the way, the present for Bob should be a bottle of like $20 Gordon's gin, because that's what he drinks with his martinis. He doesn't drink the expensive. says the expensive stuff just has like perfume in it or something.
So what you got, David?
Okay, my next lump of coal is Toyota for taking their eye off the ball on quality and expanding.
My coal in this position is Toyota's image, which is toast. But they've talk about driving something into the ditch, man. Wow. They really did it. Yeah.
Big time.
And their image, you know, this image thing is a fragile business in anything. I don't care what the product. But in the car business, it is absolutely fragile. And they destroyed like 35 years of accrued goodwill in basically 18 months.
Yeah, they haven't recovered.
No.
They have not recovered yet.
Nope.
You see it on the bottom line. They're not losing money. But
their market share.
But their market share, especially in this country, which is where they make most of their profit.
Yep. I think the jig is up on Toyota. They're no longer a special car company. I think there's a real danger for Toyota right now. They're no longer the special one, so what do you trade on? They don't have design. They don't have performance. Nothing gets the adrenaline pump. And the only thing in terms of marketing and brand, what they have left are a lot of boomers just don't want to believe it because they've built up a lot of trust. That's a good asset for Toyota. But they've given all Gen X and Gen Y consumers a reason to look elsewhere, and they are. And they're looking at Hyundai, Kia. They're looking at Ford. They're starting to look at GM a little bit. They're looking at Mazda in some places. They're going to look at VW.
They opened the door for everybody.
Yeah, Ford.
Well, yeah, he said, you know, Ford and Hyundai, these guys have, they can write their
Ford,
own.
Ford, Hyundai, and to a lesser degree, GM.
GM.
And so.
Nissan.
GM. And Nissan's not doing a half bad job.
Nissan keeps gaining market share, and everyone says to me, oh, they must be giving them away because they don't really have anything that's new and hot. And I said, they're like the guy running in the woods with his buddy, and he doesn't have to outrun the bear. He's just got to outrun his buddy.
Right.
And they're outrunning Toyota. I mean, that's where I think a lot of the Toyota buyers are going, is to Nissan.
And the other thing, too, is even though we don't all think, I think we all agree, that the Leaf is going to sell in any kind of big numbers, it's going to bring a ton of people into the showroom just to go look at it.
Yeah.
And that's going to sell other things for it.
Nissan still, other than the Leaf, they don't have anything that's big and exciting out there. Well, I think the company's got a lot going for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Altima's selling pretty well. The Juke, I think, is a pretty cool vehicle. I actually like it. They've got a number of other things that are going pretty good for them.
The company's got daring. They're the only Japanese car company that really stirs anybody's passion. I think as Honda continues to be boring, Nissan could feast on them a bit as well.
Right.
We were just talking about Honda's going to bring out a non-hybrid version of the CRZ, which I think they'll discover, gee, it sells.
Yeah. Hey, what a concept.
Who knew? That's I got another present. Yeah, I praised Ford marketing earlier, and I'll praise GM marketing just for the fact that Joe Lawanek has basically stabilized the ship. They got a long way to go, but they've stabilized the ship, and they've turned it around, and they're starting to, get a feel for, and they're doing some good stuff, so hopefully they can keep that momentum going.
I gave them a present, too, because, when they came out with the Chevy campaign, I kind of looked at it and said, well, that's not really that exciting. I was taken aback a bit, and then I, as I looked at more, the creative work is good, and I thought, wait a minute, Joel gets it. He's not coming out with something big and obnoxious and splashy. He's going to do something that strikes a chord but will build over a long period of time. He gets it. They have to rebuild this brand over a long period of time, and that'll give you more stable brand recognition as opposed to, some big splashy campaign that people forget in 6 months, and then you got to go back to the drawing board. He's doing good stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got another bag of coal for Fisker. For much, I mean, there's a sucker born every minute.
To EV startups.
I mean, it's just, really? Come on.
So they got a $500 million from Uncle.
Yeah, they got from us. So Henrik can play and be big car auto czar guy. I mean, come on. And if you go out and spend $100,000 for your Fisker, then hey, have at it. It'll be the talk of the country club for like 5 minutes. And then what? You're stuck, pal.
All right.
I got a present. We already talked Hyundai. Do you have another present?
I had Cole for Honda.
Yeah.
For losing their mojo.
Boy, they lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, all their... I did drive the new MDX, which I think is really good. But other than that, they're the new vehicles. We've talked about this on the show. We've been talking about it ever since the show started. They've lost their way. I have a present for Tesla. But the present isn't from me. The present is from the government and from Wall Street for just relentlessly throwing money at these guys. Yeah. Finally, today, an analyst came out downgrading their stock to a sell. And I'm sitting there reading this. If only there had been some clue that this thing didn't have a sustainable plan to profitability. Maybe when the Model S comes out, if it ever comes out, they can make money off it. I don't see how it can. I think this
the
is
only thing
cost
that
more.
I will give Tesla any credit for is a guy who they fired from the company, Martin Eberhard, was the one who came up with this idea of using laptop batteries, the 18650 battery, as they call it, and he figured out the software way of controlling all these different cells. That's something new that nobody else has done before. And Tesla's got the rights, the intellectual property rights to that. And that's why Volkswagen hired Eberhard. Now they're pursuing it. But that's why Toyota has bought into part of the company, and they're building them, you know, prototype RAV4 electrics. But it's the only thing that I'll give Tesla credit for, because
the only thing
they're bringing to the party, none of the rest of the stuff.
Their chief scientist, J.B. Straubel, who's been with the company since the early days, knows what he's doing, and he's the brains in the operation. The rest of it, I don't know if they've got a business plan. Toyota may prop them up, or because they've got an interest in the thing now. But
well, we'll see if Toyota does. I still think Toyota was finding some sort of PR out from the NUMMI fiasco. So they invest in Tesla. Now Tesla is going to build cars in NUMMI, and so they papered over that sort of PR disaster for the time being. But is Toyota truly, really committed to this 18650 approach that Tesla's
really taken? Un-Toyota. You know, they don't buy technology from other people.
Right.
They develop it in-house. So, yeah, we'll see. Are we done?
We're ready for rapid coal.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, that's right. I'm glad Chip reminded me that. My vote for the best-run car company this year actually is Subaru of America. I'm just blown away by this little boutique brand that has no clue that the world is melting down economically. Their sales have only gone up every single year. Their profits have only gone up every single year. I'm just in awe that they're the only ones who pulled that off.
Well, I had one other lump of coal for Representative Darrell Issa from California. Grandstanding every time something happens with GM, and the one that really drove me nuts is when Armando Galarraga had the near perfecto taken away by the bad call at first base. So GM gives him a Corvette, and Issa whines in the New York Times that
GM shouldn't be spending our money.
Yeah, it's a $50,000 Corvette. They got a lot of publicity. I think they were on ESPN because of it. It's called marketing, Daryl.
Right.
And it just drives me nuts that the anti-bailout crowd comes in every time they spend money, and it's like, wait a minute. We already spent the money to bail them out. Let them run the company. Let them do marketing. Let them develop products. I don't care if you don't like the marketing program or you don't like some car they're developing. They have to run the company. Otherwise, we'll never get the money back. And it's just these guys grandstanding when they don't know anything about the business.
Good call. He gets a lump of coal.
There are a handful of them, by the way, who do that.
And my last lump of coal goes to Bob King, who, true to form, what was it, yesterday, said, well, we're going after the import manufacturers in January. And it's just like, yeah, Bob, welcome to 1965.
Jesus. Here's where I think they're going to run into a problem is these are mostly right-to-work states. So let's just say, for whatever reason, they get the workforces in these plants to bring in the union. In a right-to-work state, you do not have to join a union. In fact, that's what right-to-work means. If you don't want to join a union, you don't have to. As opposed to states like here in Michigan, what we've got, what they call closed shop. If the union's in, everybody's got to be in the union. You don't have a choice.
50% of the people voted, or 51 or whatever it is you're in, and they can do what's called a card check. If management allows it, where you don't even do a full election and ballot, people just check a card and show interest, and the company will recognize it.
Right.
King had success when he was head of organizing with the suppliers, but what he did was the UAW got GM, Ford, and Chrysler to strong-arm JCI and some of their suppliers.
For a while that happened.
It did, and that's where they got their members. They haven't successfully organized very much just out up on a soapbox.
But I'm just saying, for example,
it's not going to happen.
If you go to Kentucky.
No, I get it. But that's what I'm saying, is it's not going to happen.
Right.
The only plants they organized were JCI, Lear, domestic parts suppliers, only the factories that supplied Big Three.
Right.
Because they had the Big Three kind of strong-arming them to do card checks and making it easy for the union. They're not going to organize these plants.
Well, I still think, and I don't know if the union's, faced up to this, that even if, let's say, Toyota said, okay, you can come in and organize our guys, and we're not going to oppose you in any way, how many line workers are just going to say, I don't want to pay dues, and I'm going to get all the benefits they negotiate anyway. And so I see big problems for them, even if they get into those plants, which I think is going to be a big hurdle to overcome.
Okay.
Good. Well, hey, we have one more sponsor that we have to talk about, and that's the Hyundai Sonata at HyundaiSonata.com.
How did we get all these sponsors? Nobody was buying the show when I was here. Is it because I was here?
Well, let's hope they stick with us. But anyway, the Sonata's got class-leading total interior volume. They haven't sacrificed style. It's very sporty and elegant. Not just another midsize sedan. All kinds of comfort, upscale touches that exceed the expectations for this segment. And once more, you can learn more about it at HyundaiSonata.com.
Rapid fire?
Well, let's get to rapid fire.
We're going to really be rapid tonight.
We're going to be very rapid,
Did we talk too long?
Did we what?
Did we talk too long?
No. It's our freaking show. We can do whatever we want.
Exactly right. Okay, Mike D. White says, Mike Cole goes to Fisker. Didn't really do much of anything. VRM Chris says, Mike Cole goes to Lotus. What's the Malaysian government doing? Hiring people from Ferrari to completely remake Lotus?
Well, we'll be asking Mr. Lutz about that in 2 weeks.
Yes, we will be. Absolutely right. Miradart says, he gives Cole to BYD, Tesla, and Fisker. He says, but they just burn it to make electricity.
Way to go.
That's clever.
That is pretty good.
Mud Monster says, my gift goes to all the car guys in California who have to put up with stupid things like
that. Yeah,
car.
Really.
Mud Monster says, first Cole went to Bob King. Next goes to Acura, a bread slicer that doubles as a grill. Comment from Royce Fan. Does Sergio get a lump of coal or a present for what he's done so far at Chrysler?
I don't know. That's another show.
Yeah.
I'd give him a present.
Joseph says, guys, I'm partial to stick shifts. Currently looking at the Dodge Challenger and Cadillac CTS, but I haven't test driven the stick version of either one. Have any of you test driven the stick shift, and is it worth buying?
Not in the Challenger.
Yeah, I've driven the Challenger.
If you like a stick, the Cadillac would be a better choice.
They've just totally redone the Challenger. I just drove what they called the 392 Challenger, and it was, on Sears Point, it was pretty impressive. It was pretty awesome. But it's big, more muscle car thing. CTS is more...
More finesse.
More finesse. So it depends what you want. You want muscle, go with the Challenger.
The whole CTS is becoming a hell of a good line of cars.
Yeah. It is. Jay Cujo says, does anyone think GM's the next automaker to go through recall hell like Toyota? I don't think so. You know, we were doing what we called recall roundup on Autoline Daily. I stopped doing it. People got to realize there's recalls every single day of the week. I swear to God, everyone's having recalls all the time. And it's curious to me how the media sort of cherry picks which ones.
Well, also, there's a lot of silent recalls going on.
Well, that too, but...
Service bulletins.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even if you just go by the safety recalls that NHTSA has, every single week, I guarantee you, there's big recalls going on. But the media only sort of cherry-picks certain ones. Anyway, I don't think GM's going to go through recall hell. Steve says, have to give Mazda a present for the gorgeous new Kazemai design and a Cole to their last design. Yeah, their last design with the big smiley face.
Until they get rid of those smiley faces, which we're going to be living with for a while.
Hey, Ben, let's bring in a phone call.
I like the six.
Well, no, it's...
Hey, guys, this is Chris in Baltimore. I know Ford's got a couple presents from you guys in the show tonight, but there's an article on MSNBC saying, is success going to be Ford's biggest enemy? I wonder what you guys thought about that. If they're going to fall into complacency, hopefully not. And, John, are we going to get a DC Auto Show tickets this year? Thanks a lot. Happy holidays.
As long as Al Mulally's there, I think Ford's got a real good shot of not veering off into the ditch.
They've got to institutionalize what he's done and keep the infighting and the BS out of there.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Mark Fields earlier in the year, and he's very aware that the old politicking, backbiting, nasty Ford culture is still, you know, lurking beneath the surface. They're aware of it now. Once Allen's gone, can they stamp that out and keep it from coming back?
Yeah, well, that'll be the
But the guy's question is a good one. Success will be their downfall. You know, the American car companies always work best when they're clawing their way out of, you know, up the face of the cliff, you know, out of the cauldron. And then they perform brilliantly. And it's when things start to go really good for a long time that things drift off. But and then tickets for the DC Auto Show, it might happen. It might happen. Ben, let's bring up another one.
Hello. This is John Dunlap from down in Ozarks, Missouri.
All right.
I call to give you something I think should probably be put in the bin for the coal lump for next year. I'm thoroughly convinced that the EVs are going to be a miserable failure because the only place they'd be used in highly metropolitan areas, they're already running short electricity. Out here in the boonies, they wouldn't get to first base. Now, hybrids, that's a different story. But the straight EVs, I just think they'll be one of the biggest disasters we've ever launched. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we pretty much, from the beginning, they are limited use vehicles in urban areas.
Right. Somewhere down the road, that could change.
I blogged about this today because we just saw the first Volton Leaves distributed. And I think the Volt's going to, even though it's a more expensive car, I think it's going to be a bigger success in the market.
Well, I keep saying, I bet you most people end up leasing them, and there's only a dollar a month difference on the lease between the Leaf and the Volt.
Yep.
So, and Ben, I think we got another phoner in. Let's bring that in.
Hi, guys. It's Frank from Bridgeton, New Jersey. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
My coal, I think there's a I love all the guys you're giving coal to. I can't disagree with any of them. My guy, though, is King from the UAW. Every time I see something this guy says, I just cringe. I have no doubt in my mind he's going to do everything in his power to try to bring down the industry again. And the sad part is, he really thinks he's doing the right thing. I read some of his comments today on automotivenews.com, and I just was about the transplants, and I really don't know what to say. I mean, it's as if this guy is just plopped down here in Michigan after being off the planet for the last 24 to 36 months. He just doesn't get it. Looking forward to the new year, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well,
obviously,
he agrees. We've been hammering that for a long time.
So a couple of real quick ones here. Flying Squirrel from Illinois says, he suggests a lump of coal for the Acura ZDX. What were they thinking?
Yeah, we've covered that. I mean, Acura's totally lost their way.
Well, the ZDX, I was looking at, you know, they sold last month 156. It's scary. I feel for those guys, and I'm not making that up.
How many dealers do they have in the country?
Acura? I don't know. It's got to be several hundred.
Yeah, so not even
one per dealer.
Plenty of dealers just didn't even sell any.
Right.
That's bad.
Jim from Sioux Falls, South Dakota says, my lump of coal goes to the old GM board of directors. They let the company slip into oblivion. Ditto for Cerberus and Nardelli.
Well,
management matters. He's right. Another one voting for the California Air Resources Board. Another one, 007 Mitch W., the Euro safety nannies. And we're at the top of the hour, so this is probably a good place to...
Any more calls?
No, I think we got them all.
Okay.
You're going to say, Dave?
Where's Donald? Is it Donald Brown?
No, Jonathan Brown.
Jonathan Brown.
I don't know where Jonathan is.
He's not on tonight.
What, it's Christmas Eve's Eve and these guys aren't dialing in?
Right. Well, we want to remind everybody, we're not going to be here next week. In fact, there won't be any out-of-line dailies or anything. We're shutting down for the week. I'm letting everybody go home, including me. But we'll be back here January 6th with Bob Lutz, and that ought to be fantastic.
Keys.
Give you the keys?
I'll come in and produce some content.
Come in and make some shows, huh? So remember to friend us at Facebook, facebook.com/OutOfLineDetroit, or at twitter.com/OutOfLine, or at AutoExtremist.com, or twitter.com/AutoExtremist.
Although I may not be on Twitter much longer.
Oh, really? You're getting fed up with it?
Yeah.
He's going to go to Weezer.
Even after you wrote the ultimate Twitter column?
Yeah. Well, that was my swan
song. That was pretty cool, actually.
He's going to go to Weezer once I open it.
Weezer? Oh, you're going
to... Yeah, that's my site where you have to have a minimum of 5,000 characters, and you wheeze on and on.
Jeez. That is clever. I like that. I like that a lot. And follow Dave's stuff at businessweek.com.
And Bloomberg.com.
And Bloomberg.
And actually on businessweek.com, my auto blog went dormant for a while, but I'm firing it back up, and I got a couple items I put up today, and I'm going to, next week, start firing that up again. So.
Cool.
And don't forget to check out greatnoroco.com, Roaster Jack.
Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for having been with us in 2010. We'll see you in 2011.
Visit our website, outoflinedetroit.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, get your daily automotive news fix with Autoline Daily, and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline Detroit. That's all there, and much more, at outoflinedetroit.tv.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. Dow Automotive Systems, improving durability and increasing design flexibility with Betamate structural adhesives at DowBetamate.com. And by Hyundai. Experience the 2011 Hyundai Sonata today at HyundaiSonata.com.